coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lassiter, and Corey Labounty.
Good morning and welcome to the Prep Sports Report presented by Alpha and coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. We are being broadcast all over Radio Alabama on WRFS 105.1 Lake Martin, covering 45,000 acres of beautiful, beautiful water there on the banks of the Tallapoosa River. And the Big Yay, WYA 106.5 in Sylacauga. And thank you guys for being on board with us here on Prep Sports Report. 17 years strong, Corey Labounty. Good morning.
Good morning, Coach. Always a pleasure to join you each and every Saturday morning on the Prep Sports Report.
And Mark Laster is still climbing mountains, I guess, down in Panama City, catching all big fish and having a good time. And we're glad for that. He and Michelle certainly deserve a break, and that's something that we sure hope they're having a great time with their family. Dalt, good morning, pal.
Hey, morning, Coach. Morning, Corey.
Good morning, Dalt.
Dalt, I know you keep up with this World Cup now. Is everything hunky-dory for you in the World Cup?
Yeah, going pretty good. I thought France and England would be in the final, so I was just one team off. But it was some good games.
Have they scored yet?
I don't know. I tell you what, they played some classic. Yeah, they played some classic games though.
Wow, and that's been who's not one. I just don't know enough about soccer to know. You know, I can't get the rules, offside stuff, and all that. But I can tell you this: there have been some really entertaining moments during that. Of course, right now, Wimbledon's going on, and that's kind of my cup of tea. And I can promise you this: it's a great time of year. Federer's already out. Serena's headed for hopefully another win in the at Wimbledon, and I know Katie is in South Carolina sitting on the edge of her chair because she's such a huge Serena Williams fan. But so it's a great time of year for some of the sports that we don't pay a whole lot of attention to on this show, but I can tell you the World Cup sure has generated a lot of interest throughout the world. And this, I would assume that it is the biggest sporting event once you cross that big blue water out there.
It has to be. And think about the other team that's in the final, Croatia. They have a population of 4 million people, less than Alabama. And Team USA can't even get into the World Cup.
Unbelievable.
Hopefully we'll put a team together one of these years.
Well, that's amazing. That's just amazing. Well, Corey, when you look around the high school sports scene right now, really a lot of 7-on-7 going on. I know Josh Niblett's got a big thing going on up at Hoover right now. And so 7-on-7 is kind of occupying a lot of our time right now.
It is. You have 7-on-7 and you have a lot of individual camps. Again, you look at last week, you look at the Daphne community and the former players there giving back to the community with the free clinics and camps that are going on. And this week you have C.J. Mosley, who started his yesterday, and also A.J. McCarron will have his camp today out at Baker High School. And then next couple of weeks you'll have Captain Munnerlin. So it's just great to see all these NFL players, not only here locally but statewide, give back to the alma maters and their communities. Speaking of the Hoover 7-on-7 tournament, a lot of great things going on. Spanish Fort received a bye, and they will play this morning at 11 o'clock a.m. versus the winner out of Austin and Hazel Green. So we had Coach Ben Blackman on 1 week ago speaking about his team and the progression that they're trying to make and why it's important to play 7-on-7. But Rick, there's a lot of 7-on-7. I know Fellowship of Christian Athletes had Dennis Hayford and them had something at Theodore this week that included the linemen as well. So you had the interior linemen as well as the skill position players. So again, a lot of activity winding down as next week will be the dead period in the Alabama High School Athletic Association.
Well, that's because all the coaches will be in Montgomery for the Alabama High School Athletic Association annual clinic that they have there for coaches. And so if you're looking for one of your high school coaches next week, it's not a good week to find them because most of them will be in Montgomery for the annual clinic. Now, you talk about 7-on-7 at Hoover. There's going to be some big, you know, we're talking about the World Cup and how competitive things are. Let me tell you this, it's really going to be competitive at Hoover this weekend. Of course, not only is Hoover there, of course, McGill Tulin is there, and those two guys, those two teams have certainly met for the last couple of years for the 7A state championship. So McGill Tulin is there. Another familiar name is going to be there as well. Former head coach at Hoover and the guy that kind of put Hoover on the map, Rush Probst, will bring his Colquitt County, Georgia team there. And Rush Probst has certainly been in the news here lately because he's got a running back that everybody in the country wants or covets. And needless to say, Alabama and Auburn are both on that bandwagon as well. But there's a different team that's come into Hoover this year, a team out of Connecticut. New Canaan, Connecticut is there. And when you go up the East Coast and you talk to coaches up the East Coast, one of the teams that they talk about is New Canaan, Connecticut. And I'm going to tell you, that's going to be an interesting 7-on-7 tournament up there. And Josh Niblett, of course, Josh will have somebody else running it, I can promise you. But those guys that run that tournament, that'll be something, that'll really be something to see. So those folks, those of you folks that are in that area up 280 from Sylacauga listening on the Big Yay, you want to go over to Hoover today, and I promise you, you're going to get a whole lot of good 7-on-7. I think today are the finals. Of course, it started on Thursday, so today you're going to see some of those teams that have kind of been eliminated. Now you'll see the better teams come to the top, Corey. So it's going to today, of course, being the final day for that 7-on-7 tournament.
Yeah, you talked about New Canaan, Connecticut. They'll be taking on Hillcrest, Tuscaloosa this morning at 10 o'clock, so they'll winner of that particular game will move on to play Spain Park. So again, a lot of 7-on-7 action going on up at Hoover, and it'll complete the 7-on-7. And again, in 2 weeks, we'll have the high school media day here in Mobile, as well as Baldwin County, that AL.com will be putting on. So we're excited to get ready into full football mode. And in less than 3 weeks, they'll be putting on the shorts and helmets again,
yep,
getting ready,
that's right,
to start school back. And as school starts back for a lot of people, August 6th, you know, that's less than 3 weeks away to where everybody's preparing for that kickoff on August 23rd.
Well, it's, of course, when you bring up 3 weeks and getting started with football, of course, a lot of news this week, Dalton. I'm sure y'all talked about it on the morning show. A lot of news about Ladd Stadium and where the city's going to go with Ladd Stadium. And I'm going to be real honest about this and open. I think South Alabama's got lots of money. I do. You look at the payroll of what they pay people and their annual payroll. And I find it hard to believe that they're asking. And listen, I'm a huge South Alabama fan. Spent, 5 years on that radio team, and think a lot of Joel Erdman and that entire group of people out there. I think they've hired one of the best hires in college football this year when they hired Steve Campbell. But it's just hard for me to understand how a university that has the ability to generate revenue as well as South Alabama does needs the city to make a annual, I guess, loan to them to build a stadium. I think South Alabama just needs to build their own stadium.
Yeah, I'm wondering the same thing, especially when I get a letter in the mail every few weeks that asks for money, being an alumni at South Alabama. But they have come out and said, the USA Foundation has come out and said that money's earmarked and that it can only be used for, certain things, whether it's educational or scholarships. So that's their argument for why they can't actually do it. But the city also will benefit from this stadium. So I think there's got to be some kind of medium struck. Maybe $10 million isn't the right number amount. But if the city's going to use it and profit off the stadium, I don't know why they would not put any money into it.
I think the thing that bothers me the most about this, Corey and Dalt, is this. Paul Christopher was a dear friend of mine. And Paul Christopher made it a point that stadium and that community around that stadium was a home place for those people in that neighborhood. And I just wonder if their voice has been heard. There's thousands of people that live around Ladd Stadium that utilize. They go out there, they do their exercise. That's just a little community and I just hope that they hear those people. And I know that can't be the reason not to tear the stadium down or do whatever they're going to do. But those people take a lot of pride in that place around there. And I know there's been some people who've said a lot about crime and all of that stuff, but I just hope that they'll hear the voices of the people that utilize that area on a daily basis. That's their home. And I've just got some real different feelings about that because I heard Paul Christopher so many times say what a unique community that was. And so that's heavy on my heart, what's going to happen to Ladd Stadium. We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5.
Sports communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. This segment of the Prep Sports Report, presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show.
This is the day of the expanding man. That shape is my shape.
You know, every time Steely Dan's on, I got to go into that mode. Told Steve Savarese one day that, you know, Savarese plays the guitar. You know that, Corey?
No, I didn't.
He does. He does. He plays the guitar. And told him one day sitting in the office, I said, that's really what you want to do. You want to tour with somebody like Steely Dan and be in the limelight. Jamie Lee probably hadn't learned that about Steve yet, but
I knew he played the guitar. Yes, sir.
Did you really? Well, that's we got Jamie Lee on now. Jamie is now the director of the Alabama High School Athletic Directors and Coaches Association. Well, Jamie, let me tell you something. Don't compliment him on his guitar playing. Do that because you'll very quickly find yourself going to Burger King and picking up biscuits or doing whatever. But yeah,
I've heard it one time when we had a Christmas party, and he did a fine job.
Well, you're paying homage to anyway. That's a story for another day. Jamie, congratulations on your new job, and of course you follow Alvin Briggs into that position. Of course, Alvin is I call all these things lateral moves because you guys all work together in a situation kind of like we all did when we coached with Steve. It's just it's a situation where y'all all work together and help each other out in every possible way. So I know that this is an exciting time for you, and congratulations on the new responsibilities that you will you've taken over.
Well, thank you very much. I'm definitely looking forward to it and trying to continue on what Coach Briggs has done with the Coaches Association and trying to put my stamp on it and trying to improve on all the good things he's done, for sure. I'm appreciative. He's been great with working with me in the past year, trying to teach me everything he knows and all the things that are a part of the Coaches Association. So I'm really looking forward to taking on this new leadership role.
Jamie, in your new role, talk about this huge coaches meeting that's coming up this Wednesday, July 18th. Next week is the Alabama High School Athletic Association All-Star Sports Week. We'll have a lot of North-South versus each other in multiple sports. But the coaches, the football coaches, will all come together, as well as the athletic directors. What will take part on that Wednesday meeting?
Yeah, Wednesday we'll have a huge day. We have football coaches coming in that day, basketball coaches coming in that day, track and field. There's wrestling coaches all coming in that day for our clinics. And then we have our ADs and Coaches Association meeting. It's just a short, brief meeting that I have tried to send out messages from our office to try to get as many coaches there just so they can meet me and I can meet them, and we can lay out the vision of what we're going to try to do in the ADs and Coaches Association. One of the things I really want those coaches to understand is this is their association. You know, we have an Alabama Football Coaches Association in the state, and I know we have a very strong Baseball Coaches Association, but the High School Athletic Association is part of their Coaches Association as well. And I just want to lay out a vision to those guys and get them to understand where I'm coming from and the things that I want to try to do to improve that, and just be a service to them, be a server, and do whatever I can to help those guys be the best coach they can be.
Jamie, is that a problem? Is it a problem to have a football coaches association, a baseball coaches association? And I don't know if we have a basketball coaches association, which is kind of odd. But is that a problem? Because I know as a head football coach and athletic director, I always worried about the different booster clubs trying to, you know, go to different go to the same sources to gain revenue. So
right. No, I don't see it as a problem necessarily. I want to come alongside those guys and work with them, though. You know, I understand that that there's strength in having a football coaches association and a baseball. We have a volleyball coaches association. To answer your question, we do not have an Alabama high school basketball coaches association in our state. It just never got off the ground. Several years ago, when I was a head coach at Decatur, I tried to, along with some others, we tried to get a basketball coaches association started, and it just never could get it off the ground. And back to your question, I don't see it as a problem. I want to come alongside and work with those guys. I want the Alabama RADs and Coaches Association for the High School Athletic Association to be a support for all coaches. We don't want to fight. We don't want this to be a football basketball situation. We want to come along and support them in every way we can. So I want to work beside those coaches associations.
One of the things, Jamie, again, as an association that the Alabama High School Athletic Association has done is just put tremendous value on sportsmanship and training the coaches to be role models. And I know that's one of the things that you just spoke on a little bit earlier, but coaches, many times, you being a former coach yourself, knowing the positive impact, not only yourself, but the other teachers in the classroom as well as out of the classroom can make on our young student athletes.
That's right, and that's one of the things that we want to try to continue to push. I think Alvin and Coach Savarese, obviously, and the other people in our office have done a tremendous job in the last several years of really trying to push that to our coaches. I think it would be safe to say we had the fewest fines and ejections from a coaching standpoint this past year that we've ever had, and that's just a testament to Alvin and his job of getting our coaches to understand the value of what they're doing from a sportsmanship standpoint. And I guess the way I look at it, and as I look across the state, I know we have a lot of coaches that have a lot of experience throughout the years, but those guys are dying off a little bit. And when I mean dying off, I mean retiring. And so we've got a new, younger coaching staff that are head coaches that I think the word has got to be pushed to those guys to help them to understand that sportsmanship's got to play a huge part in it. And I want to stress the value of why they're doing what they're doing. You know, what is their why? What is it that you're, why are you coaching? Is it to win games or is it to influence people? And that's going to be my message.
We're talking to Jamie Lee, who is recently named the director of the Alabama High School Athletic Directors and Coaches Association. And Jamie, I'm going to go back a few years early in my career. I was a head basketball coach at Banks High School, and one of the guys that was, I loved him like a daddy and still hold him in high esteem, even though he's gone on to be with our Heavenly Father, was Cap Brown. And I was at a game years ago in the early 80s and just watching the scouting, to be honest with you. And Parker was playing Jackson Olin. And in that game, there was a last-second shot by Jackson Olin. They were down by one, and bucket was made, and the officials waved it off. Cap Brown goes to the scorer's table, and he says, that shot was good. This is how powerful a man he was and how well-respected he was. And the officials got together and reconvened, and they allowed that bucket. And I ask you that, I say that to you, to ask you, a few years ago, we were going to use a program or something. We were going to be one of the first ones in the Federation to use instant replay to determine whether a shot, a last second shot, was good or no good. Where are we in that situation right now?
We do have that ability only during our state finals. During our state finals, there in Birmingham for basketball, we can go to the monitor to determine, you know, whether a shot was released at the appropriate time.
Okay.
Did the shot get off? That kind of thing. But again, it has to be a situation where the officials feel like they need to check it out. If it's not a situation where they feel like they've missed it or could have missed it, then we move on.
You know, I always thought that was one of the greatest sportsmanship things I'd ever seen. Cap's team lost that game. That game, and that was the kind of man Cap was, and as competitive as he was, he certainly didn't want to see any children, young people get mistreated there. And boy, that was a huge, huge thing. Jamie, we're going to take a break. Can you stay over for the next for the next segment? Okay. So when you hear the music, don't be like Steve. Now, when Steve hears the music, he goes into one of those diatribes of going through trying to explain something. But when you hear the music, you'll know that we're getting out of here. But as the clinic, do you have numbers for the clinic? How many are you guys expecting in Montgomery this week?
Well, I can only give you where we were before. When we ordered our name badges on Monday of this past week, we were at a little over 2,700, which is ahead of where we were last year. So we're expecting anywhere between 4,000 and 5,000, just which is about where we've been the last several years. So we're very pleased with that. Hope it continues for sure.
All right, we'll be back with Jamie Lee, the director of the Alabama High School Athletic Directors and Coaches Association, when we return.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Parker Dental and Orthodontics. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Hey, I know all you folks playing travel baseball. You're going over to Atlanta. If you go up 20 and go to Oxford and cut over, and you get to Douglasville, stop in there and see Larry Williamson and the guys at Williamson Brothers Barbecue. I'm going to tell you right now, we got lots of good barbecue in the South, but if you hadn't been to Williamson Brothers Barbecue in Marietta, Canton, or Douglasville, you're missing a treat. So all you guys and gals playing travel baseball, that's a stop you want to make. Douglasville, Georgia, Williamson Brothers Barbecue. Yeah, I do rendezvous there every once in a while, taking grandchildren back to Atlanta, Corey, and I'm guilty. I eat enough for you and I when I go there. I don't know if that's true or not, though. I've seen you eat. We got Jamie Lee on, the director of the Alabama High School Athletic Directors and Coaches Association. I guarantee you this, you will never get Savarese to take you guys to Williamson Brothers Barbecue. That is way above his budget when it comes to feeding his staff, I can promise you.
Oh, goodness. Coach, I like that bumper music you got going on this morning.
Yeah, well, and that's kind of been a staple here for a long, long time. You know, Boss Gags is a guy that we love. We love that kind of music, but I had the opportunity to play golf with the two guys, the Steely Dan, and I'm going to tell you right now, it would have probably been better for me to take Corey and Dalt out to play golf, because those two guys couldn't play golf very well, but I have never laughed so hard in all my life, but it was a lot of fun. So Dalt does a great job with that. Jamie, as we move on and we start talking about vision, and everybody, and of course, this is Corey's segment, and I jump in here when we get you guys involved, but when you start talking about vision, and I know that Alvin had things on his plate that he wanted to accomplish, and I'm sure that there's some of those things that will carry over for you as well, but short-term vision, long-term vision, either way you want to go, what do you want to see this Coaches Association take the next step up the ladder, as we say in coaching? What do you want to see occur with this Coaches Association?
Well, let me just say in general, I feel like, and this is just my personal opinion, I'm not sure that our coaches across our state know what our ADs and Coach Association, that we're there to serve them. I'm not sure they really understand the benefit of it, what they get out of it. I'm not sure that most of them, I would be willing to bet that over half of them do not know that they have $1 million worth of insurance in case something were to happen to them because of our associations and being a member of association. So, first of all, I just want to get the message out. I want them to understand that we're there to support them and be a service to them. Short-term vision. One of the first things I'm going to do as soon as we get through this summer conference is I want to recreate and redo our ADs and Coach Association website. We have a website that, or a link on our AHSA.com page that is specific to all of our coaches. It's specific to the ADs and Coach Association. I want to redo that. I'm going to get with the other people in our office to try to remodel that website in terms of I want to put things on that website that are beneficial to our coaches. For instance, I want to start a not a book club, but I want to list numerous books, both from a leadership standpoint, or even if it's an X and O coaches standpoint, for all of our coaches, where they can go to our website and say, you know what, I want to read that book. I want to be able to attach videos. I want to be able to attach videos that where a young baseball coach might be able to go to our website and say, you know what, I'm going to look up something for pitching. What's a great website I can go to? I want to have that link on our website. I want to encourage our coaches to know the rules. So many times, and I can remember myself when I was a young coach, I was getting just when I came in as an assistant, I didn't know all the rules of the AHSA. I didn't understand all the things that go a part of a student making a transfer or you know, what a bona fide move was and all those things. I want to make it easy for our coaches to go to the website and say what constitutes a bona fide move. Now, we've got that in place now, but one of the things that we're going to do is have a quote unquote a rule of the week where I'm going to throw out a scenario. Kid A transfers to school B, and under this situation, is he eligible or not? And if he's not, why? And so I'm going to try to educate our coaches from that standpoint. So that's one of our short-term bridges. What we want to do is just basically start our website and give our coaches a place to go. You know, when I was coaching, when I was the head coach at Decatur, occasionally, maybe once or twice a week, I would go to this certain basketball website that had a lot of motivational stuff on it where I might use to my team. I want to be able to put that on our website where coaches can go to that one spot and say, this is something I need. So that's sort of what I'm looking at in terms of a short term.
We're speaking with Jamie Lee. He's the new director of the Alabama High School Athletic Directors and Coaches Association. And one of the things that I noticed, Jamie, during the Super 7 last year in Tuscaloosa was the tremendous support of all the coaches, the football coaches and athletic directors who actually attended the game at the Super 7 over the period of 3 days. I know this year is going to be at Jordan-Hare Stadium, and that's one of the things that I know that the Alabama High School Athletic Association has to be proud about. Even when you look in Birmingham for the basketball state finals, there's a tremendous outpouring of all the coaches, not from just basketball, but from multiple sports. So I know that's something that the AHSAA hangs its hat on.
Absolutely, we love that. I was privy to my first Super 7 this past year as an employee of AHSA, and it was so fun, I guess would be the right word, to see all those high school football coaches that, you know, weren't fortunate enough to make it to the game, but they were there supporting the process and those teams that were playing. That's a lot of fun. And like you said, the basketball at the BJCC, there's baseball coaches and football coaches and basketball coaches, they're all there to watch and support, and that's so much fun. And that's one of my goals early. I know a lot of coaches from Birmingham North just because I was in the north part of the state. I don't know that many from Montgomery South, and so, or Birmingham South even. And so I want to get out and meet people. So that's one of the things I'm going to try to do this next week is I'm going to do my best to meet as many coaches as I can and try to learn names and know where they are and what school they're a part of and that kind of thing.
Jamie, thank you for taking time out of your schedule to spend time with us here on Prep Sports Report. It's certainly a labor of love that you guys do there, and I know you're paid, but at the same time, there's a whole lot that goes on into your job that people have no idea, the hours and hours that you guys spend planning and trying to make sure that every I is dotted and every T is crossed. So we appreciate everything that you guys are doing, and thank you for taking time out on a Saturday morning to spend with us here on Prep Sports Report.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And I just want to say before you go, you know, we've got a great leader. You know, you mentioned Coach Savarese a couple times. I can't be in a much better place to have anybody lead our association and to just lead me, quite honestly, just to teach me and all the things that go on. And we're very fortunate to have him leading our organization, and I look forward to working with him for years to come. So I do appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much. Hope to see you guys next week, maybe.
Well, after 42 years of that, I will spend time at Lake Martin before I'll do that. But now you're preaching to the choir when you're talking about Steve Savarese here. I can promise you that.
Yes, sir. So. Amen, yes, brother. Sir. Thank you so much for joining us. And future ones, we will see you next week.
All right, sounds good. Y'all have a great day.
Take care, Corey. What? Tell me about future ones now. What are you guys doing next week?
I tell you, we're tied in. We want to meet with and greet with all the coaches across the state of Alabama to show them our compression gear, to show them the interchangeable practice jerseys that we do have. We want to show them the design of uniforms, the athletic apparel, the equipment that we can get all coaches in any sport across the state of Alabama in. And where better place to do that when everybody's centrally located in Montgomery for the All-Star Sports Week.
So do y'all have a booth?
We will have a booth set up next week. Trent and Gus will be going up, and they will be presenting the product and showing the product. And that's you can good. See us on Twitter at Future Ones. That's Future and the number Ones. You can also go to FutureOnes.com.
That's a great idea. That is a great idea for Future Ones to be there because, just about every high school in the state of Alabama will be represented there. I can promise you that. It's always a joy for us to get a Christ-centered football coach who can sing, who can minister, and dadgummit, he can coach football too. Nathan McDaniels from Baldwin County High School is on the line with us. And Nathan, I've heard this story. I had a friend of mine from Dothan the other day, and of course I've heard this story on Shavanian's show or somebody's show, but I get tickled every time I hear the pizza story. I just can't get over that. I one of my buddies just had open that coached with us at Northview back in the good days, and I can promise you, in the early 80s at Northview, those were great days for those of us who were coaching there and had great players and just a great school. But one of our buddies just had open heart surgery that coached with us there, and another one of my buddies said, Cleve, you are not going to believe what happened when Northview went to Baldwin County a couple of years ago. They actually, a pizza guy came on the field, and I said, yeah, I've heard that story.
So. Rick and Corey, brother, listen, first of all, good morning.
Good morning, brother.
Man, it was we were in the middle of the game, and we ordered Northview 60-something pizzas just for the ride home, just trying to do something nice for them. And yeah, the pizza guy in Bay Minette, man, he was he won employee of the year. So he was and determined to come down and get my signature. And luckily, our offensive line coach at the time, now our offensive coordinator, Mitch Warfield, happened to get him before I did. He was determined, man. So he should do the playroom.
That's funny. Now, Nate, we're going to go to – when you hear the music, when you hear Steely Dan or whoever, just know that we're going to a hard break there, and we're going to keep you over here. But that's what you should have sent Bob Wills that bill. I'm sure Bob would have been glad to pay that bill. I promise you.
Bob's as good as they come. He probably would have paid for it.
He sure would have. Hey, we're going to hold Nathan over. Of course, Nathan McDaniel is the head football coach at Baldwin County High School, and he has done a remarkable job everywhere he's been, and we're excited for him to be on with us this morning. You're listening to Prep Sports Report on FM Talk 106.5, coming to you nationwide. We will be back with more on PSR.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report is presented by Future Ones, providers of practice apparel and scout team jerseys with interchangeable numbers. Now, back to the show.
Double wide quick stop, midnight tea top, Jack in a cherry coat town. Mama and Dad.
Yeah, you can identify with that, Nathan. Kenny Chesney, I promise you, buddy. of course, you'd probably be better, or you'd feel more comfortable if we had Casting Crayons coming on here leading into you now. That's kind of
come on, man. That's good stuff. I tell you, there's good artists all over the place, man. So.
No doubt. We were we're close to starting to talk about SEC football, and when you talk about the SEC West, In high school football, we could compare it to 6A Region 1.
There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt.
I don't know how much sleep you get at night thinking about all those hombres that you got to deal with.
Yeah, we go 7-3 finally last year. We felt like we kind of get over the hump, and the reward for that is St. Paul. So appreciate it. Yeah. But no, what an opportunity to you look at it as a negative or an opportunity, and what an opportunity to compete against the best. And I tell you what, anybody who comes out of our region has a legitimate shot. So I'm excited about it. We look forward to the challenge for sure.
Coach McDaniel, for those that are unfamiliar with the 6A Region 1 and why we call it the SEC West, you have BC Rain, Baldwin County, Blount, Daphne, Gulf Shores, Robertsdale, Saraland, Spanish Fort, and St. Paul's. You open up the season against a 7A foe and Murphy, and that will be a home game for you. Talk to us about the preparation that you've had, not only in this summer, 7-on-7, but just getting your team together in the spring. I know you had an inter-squad scrimmage got your team, kind of gave you a gauge. But, Coach, you know, over the last couple of years, I think the injury bug has really plagued you, and you have a lot of young men, wide receiver Javis Atchison, along with a couple of defensive linemen, if can be healthy all at one time, Albany Casey and Jeremy Moore. Talk to us about all those players and the chemistry coming together for your team.
Well, 2 years ago, we felt really, really good about our group, and then our quarterback, Eli Powell, was out for the entire year, and had to play with a backup quarterback who did a fine job, but at the end of the day, he had never played quarterback before, so that hurt us. And then last year, Eli comes back in week two or three against Gulf Shores, he breaks his ankle, and so Chase comes in and fills in well for 3 or 4 weeks, and Eli comes back against Saraland and gets that win, and we were able to finish 7-3. So hopefully we won't have that happen to us this year, but it's just been, we try to focus a lot of attention on the weight room, obviously, like everybody does, because at the end of the day, that's where games are won. And so finally, I feel like our athletic ability is matching our vision. You know what I mean? It was, when we got here a few years ago, it was going to take some time for that, athletic ability and strength and weight room and all that stuff to catch up to where we want to be. And finally, I feel like we're at that point. So, we've got 3 or 4 guys on our team that are definitely big-time Division I players and a lot of other really good players. So I feel like we'll be right there in the thick of things.
Coach, you talking about your players this year, and again, a couple of young men, the wide receiver that you just finished talking about, as well as your defensive line. You talked about your junior quarterback this year. Am I saying this right? Demir Sewell?
Demir Sewell, yes, sir.
Will be running things behind center. Talk about the progress that you've seen so far, and we're 3 weeks away from actually strapping on helmets and shoulder pads. Talk to us about the excitement this last week of 7-on-7 and the growth that you've seen of your team so far.
Yeah, we had a great 7-on-7 season. We normally go to Hoover, and this year we decided not to. We were done with 7-on-7 by the end of June. We went and played in a few of them and did really well, and had some big wins over Thompson and several other people. So I was really pleased with the progress of Demir. I think that his decision-making, his arm talent and his ability was always there, but it's just he needed live reps. I think his decision-making really improved over those, since spring practice. He's looking really, really good right now. And he's got some weapons around him, man. And we've got a really good O-line, which we graduated 3 of them. But I really feel like we can be better up front than we were over the last couple of years. And then defensively, we get just about everybody back, and it all starts with that group up front with Albany and Jeremy and several other ones. So I'm excited about it, I think we've got a great opportunity sitting in front of us. We just have to, practice and prepare with the same passion that our team last year did, which I don't think will be an issue, and I feel like we'll be okay. We've added some great coaches. Chris Wilson come on as receivers coach. He was the head coach of MGM in Washington County for a while. Took them to the finals a couple of years. And Mitch Warfield, who has been with us, he is now our offensive coordinator after Adam Wallace left to go be the head coach of Moody. So we feel really good about it.
We're talking to Nathan McDaniel, the head football coach at Baldwin County High School. And Nathan, before you got to Bay Minette, they'd really struggled. I mean, they had been through some tough times since Jack French had left, and in the meantime, it had just been a kind of a struggle and hadn't got anybody in there that could get their feet planted. And what I think is, it's not amazing. It's just it's who you are. And we believe here that God has a plan for each and every one of us.
Amen.
And when you took that job, it had to be one, a little bit of apprehension, but at the same time, you could see a situation that could really be a great situation. And I say this all the time. When you look at the leader that you have in your community in Bob Wheels, then I think it was such an enhancement for you to take that job at a time when there was new leadership coming into to Bay Minette, and to kind of talk just a little bit about the evolution of change that took place as you got in there, because now the facilities are upgraded. I think you've even got an indoor facility. Is that, isn't that right?
We have an indoor facility, and I can't say enough about our leadership, man. Craig and Craig Smith, our principal, and Bob Wheels, and just so many other ones that do a great job in our city. And Bay Minette's doing some really big things, man. We're breaking ground Monday on a quadplex softball facility that's going to be amazing. That's going to be broken, you know, we're breaking ground on that Monday night. And just several new businesses in town. So, you know, it has the potential to explode, but it takes all hands on deck to get that done from the school side, from the athletic side, from the mayor's side. I mean, And the cool thing is that our mayor has such an incredible vision for the city of Bay Minette and for what we're doing, and we have their full support. And I tell you, it would be which any job is tough if you don't have support. And we could not do it without him, and he's been phenomenal. And so again, I look for Bay Minette to do some really, really big things over the next several years with the vision and the things that are happening there right now.
Coach Nathan McDaniel, just want to thank you for taking time this morning to join us on the Prep Sports Report, and look forward to watching your Baldwin County Tigers get after it against the Murphy Panthers on the 24th of August, and enjoy the rest of your summer as you guys prepare to go into this season.
Thank you, brother. Listen, I appreciate both of you guys. You do an incredible job, and all that you do for high school sports. We're very, very appreciative of that.
Thanks, Nate. Take care.
Thanks, fellas.
We'll see you soon, pal. You know, a lot of things that Nathan McDaniel has been a he's led to music in several churches in our area. I just think Baldwin County High School is so fortunate to have Nathan McDaniel as their head football coach.
Home run. Took time out. His team is doing community service right now as we speak. That's what they're going to be doing for the rest of the day, is going to elderly community homes and speaking with the elderly and singing to them and bringing them great cheer.
Man, it reminds me of Ben Harris. I mean, Ben Harris over here and Nathan McDaniel on the Eastern Shore. Boy, good stuff. We'll be back with more PSR.
Live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Premier Motorsports Communication Lines. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey LaBounty.
Listen to the wind blow.
Well, you know, Corey, you know I'm planning a golf tournament tomorrow, so the wind's going to blow and the rain's going to come tomorrow. So that's just that's a given. So that's okay. That's all right. You know, we need to make we really need to kind of give you our stance here at Prep Sports Report on litigation that is obviously going to continue as St. Paul continues to move forward with its federal lawsuit against the Alabama High School Athletic Association. We have taking the position that we're not going to discuss that case on Prep Sports Report. And the reason we're not going to do that is because there's a lot of people involved in this, attorneys that are very well versed in what needs to be done and what needs to be said, really, before a federal judge who is very capable of making the decisions that he has made and will make. We are a sports talk show that we're not caller generated, and we just believe that our mission here, as it's been for 17 years, and Corey LaBounty's been here most of those years, we believe our job here is to build coaches and players and officials up and not be a part of tearing them down. And I'm afraid, Corey and Dalt, as this moves forward, there's going to be a lot of tearing down. And so we're just not going to be a party to that, but we're going to continue to build up those St. Paul's athletes, the UMS athletes, the McGill athletes, every private school and every public school. That's our mission here, is to be a part, be a vessel, if you will, of building all of the people involved up. Now, there's a lot of shows that you can listen to that will give you the attorneys that want to speak on the air, and they can give you their opinion as host of the show, but we're just not going to do that. So we're going to be the show that talks about those young people that are dedicated to being the very best they can be. And you know, that's what we feel like our mission is. Now, that's not the mission per se of FM Talk 106.5. For example, you can listen to Dalt and Sean in the morning, and I'm sure, Dalt, that y'all will have a different perspective from that. But as for us here at Prep Sports Report, Corey and Dalt, we're just going to present the good news about the players and the coaches and the officials as they perform on the field. And that's kind of where we are.
I agree. I mean, we know that the lawsuit is moving forward. With that being said, football season is 3 weeks away from being started for young kids and coaches and young men and cheerleaders and band members as they continue to have their sweat equity this entire summer as they're preparing for this 2018 season to be an exciting football season. It's going to start with St. Paul's versus UMS Wright.
And what – oh, I'm sorry, Corey, but what a game that'll be. And I just hope that the student-athletes there at St. Paul's, that whatever happens, that this isn't weighing on their minds at all as they get ready to participate in sports this season.
Well, and that's our main focus is those young people. And on the other hand, FM Talk 106.5, y'all have a job to do as far as covering that litigation.
Mm-hmm,
and
yeah,
y'all will. You'll cover that, and that's just something that we just – and really – we have access to attorneys. We have access to a lot of great attorneys. But at the same time, we're not going to put them on the spot to try to get them to give us their opinion, their legal opinion, as to what direction we should go. So what we're good at is we're good at bringing the good news of players, coaches, and officials, and that's where we're going to be with Prep Sports Report.
We have a text coming in, Coach. Hopefully you can answer this. David Preston texted in. He says, can you explain to me why the recent football camp for kids put on by the former Daphne Trojan players that are now in the NFL was held at the City Park instead of Trojan Stadium?
Well, what difference does it make? I mean, I don't know why David would ask that, and I love David, but at the same time, Tryon Park is probably, and I'm on the recreation board in Daphne. I think that's well known, but at the same time, we let them utilize that facility because it highlights our facility out there. Trojan Stadium, the turf there is something that we take a lot of pride in and try to keep it as pristine as we possibly can. Lots of young people on that field, over 150 or 200 kids out there. We could do it down in the bottom, down in the hole, much too hot down on the practice field down there. We just think Tryon Field is the place where we can have camps like this, and it can really showcase our facility there in Daphne. It's a beautiful facility, and we're about to expand on it as well, but that's kind of the reason that the guys decided that they'd prefer to have it at Tryon. Does not have anything to do with Daphne High School or anything like that. It just has to do with that was it's a better facility to have a camp where you got that many kids and you can put them kind of in a showcase situation. So that's just kind of the reason it was held there.
And, I mean, there's a lot of camps going on. Again,
yeah.
I just mentioned C.J. Mosley is having his camp today at Theodore. Had it for the younger kids and is having it for the high school kids coming up. You also look at Captain Munnelin here. He's having a silent auction this coming week, and you'll be able to bid on items from his silent auction from Cam Newton and Luke Kuechly and many other of his Panthers teammates, his own apparel and items that he'll have up on the silent auction, and I'll talk about that momentarily. But you also look at A.J. McCarron out at Baker High School today, having his annual camp. And again, we just talked about the camps that have gone on at last week at Daphne. So many young people. I know Jaquaski Tart gives back at his camp as well. So there's just so many former NFL players here locally that are giving back to the community, and that's just awesome. And Rick, you know, you come through high school and you have these coaches, and certain coaches sometimes don't get their first opportunity to become a head coach. Like at Centronelle this past week, Principal Randy Campbell made it official to where he hired on staff Jason Barnett, who was the team's defensive coordinator the past 3 years. Now will be on an interim basis this 2018 season, the Centronelle head football coach on an interim basis. And it's so late. Yeah. In late June, that you have to have, to me, somebody that the guys already know and trust, give them an opportunity to show and prove himself, and he's able to do that, then maybe they take the interim label off of him.
You know, I don't understand what's going on at Citronelle, and I want to say that by saying this, first of all. Randy Campbell's been a friend of mine for a long time, and I have the utmost respect for Randy Campbell, the principal at Citronelle. But, you know, they had Barry Gibson there. And Barry Gibson's a dadgum good football coach. And then they hire Rusty Funk. And Rusty Funk is a dadgum good football coach. I'm talking about people that have won everywhere they've been. And Citronelle's got to get it right. They got to get it right for those kids up there, because, doggone it, they need a football coach that can stay there, not somebody that'll come in there and then after a couple of years they get rid of them or they decide to leave. Somewhere along the line, Randy and the people at Citronelle have got to get it to the point where we're going to hire us a football coach that has invested in this community, and we can keep him here for the long term. It doesn't do kids any good to be changing football coaches every 2 years or so. Now, I don't know the dynamics of what happened at Citronelle, but something's going on up there where they got to change coaches every couple of years. And I know there's a unique culture in Citronelle. It is. It's a great culture.
Because it's its own community, just Satsuma or Spanish Fork. It's its own community, and look, that's what's awesome about it.
It's such a neat place. And I think about the job that Ronnie Massey did there for so many years. I mean, they were just perennial winners at Citronelle in every shape, form, and fashion of life and the game of football. It just hadn't been that way since Ronnie left and went to Grissom of Huntsville. And, of course, we've lost Ronnie now. Ronnie's gone on and passed away, and we miss him and miss our conversations. But doggone it, Citronelle, Randy Campbell, you guys have got to do something to get that thing straightened out. Y'all have got a great new school up there. You got new facilities, and you just got to get it fixed, because those kids are hungry to have a football coach and an administration, football athletically, that can stay in place, and they can grow from grammar school all the way through high school. So I sure hope they can get that fixed. You know, we had that problem when they opened a new school. And, of course, Ed Latham did such a great job down in Grand Bay and putting Grand Bay and Alba together, and they brought Rush Probst in. And when Rush left, they brought Mark Lassiter in. So we've seen how things can be fixed. Let's get that thing fixed at Citronelle so we can benefit those kids in the best way possible.
Coming off a 5-5 season, yeah. So there's a lot of hope to be built on there at Centronelle.
Absolutely. All right, guys, we'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5.
Live on the Prep Sports Report Radio Network. It's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to PSR, Rick and Corey. Mark's on, I don't know, Mark. You know, Mark and I both have a passion for Lake Martin, so we both kind of grew up there. But Mark's hit the beach now, so he's in Panama City, and I'm not going to call him because Michelle would get all over me if I do. But we miss Mark, of course, and he'll be back next Saturday. And it's you know, when you've been around guys as long as us three have been together, and now Dalt, it's you miss people. You do. You miss each other, and we miss that little rascal. And, of course, he's getting ready for football at Bayside. I went by Bayside the other day and saw Doug and Phil, and Coach Laz is down in his back again. And I got a chance to just spend some time with them and have fellowship with them. But it's always a time when one of us is gone, we certainly miss them. But it's always good to have Dalt on the other end of the horn, because he certainly offers a different perspective from us. I guess you call us coaches, even though some of us are kind of climbing that hill, which I don't know if that hill ever gets totally climbed to get to the end of the rainbow. But, you know, we got a bunch of coaches, Corey, here that, you know, FCA, Dennis Hayford, and those guys do such an amazing job. And I got really excited earlier this year. I got a note from Danny Smith, and he said they were going to take a trip to Germany to teach high school football to a group of kids in Stuttgart, Germany. And Dennis Hayford put this together. Now, let me tell you, these guys raised their own money to pay for this trip themselves. There wasn't anybody giving them gratis to do this. But these guys from down in our area were of course, Danny Smith and his offensive coordinator, Justin Patterson, the head coach at Millery, Greg Krager, and our old buddy, former Fairhope head coach and now the current head coach at Auburn High School, Adam Weingarten, made that trip along with Chickasaw head coach Jason Rowell. And, you know, they were a 22-member mission team that went to Stuttgart, Germany to teach football to those kids over in Germany. And, Dennis made the statement, our number one goal, of course, was to teach the game of football, but they also wanted to take the opportunity to share about life with those young people over there. And I'm sure it was a very special time, Corey. And I can't tell you how fortunate we are in what I call heaven on earth down here in South Alabama on the Eastern Shore and in Mobile, to have a guy like Dennis Hayford to coordinate the FCA and to coordinate this trip. And I know these guys, this was a trip that will change their life forever, because it was one where they were able to give and give and give. And I can promise you, if you talk to Danny or you talk to Justin or Greg or Adam, I'm sure Adam Weingarten will say, Rick, I can promise you they gave us more than we gave them.
Without a doubt. And you also look at the FCA Southern District in Tuscaloosa, former Alabama players Javier Arenas, Wes Neighbors, David Halsh Johnson were also able to join in that team to teach the young people, not only, like you said, about football, about life, about Christ. And that's the awesome thing that this mission trip was able to accomplish. I mean, you go to Germany, to where we know the love of soccer, what they call football in Germany, is at an all-time high. But at the same time, to see those young people learning American football from American coaches, and to have role models like these group that went over there from the FCA, it just speaks volumes of how global the game is coming, and the outreach program that Dennis Hayford and the FCA put together is just second to none.
Well, and we're awfully proud of those guys. And I mean, I can't begin to tell you I think about Danny Smith and coming in and taking the job after Jack French retired. And of course, Jack French is unretired now. He's taking the Faith job, and that's another mountain to climb. But I can promise you, he'll do a great job there. But I can imagine Danny and his wife, of course, accompanied him on that trip. I'm just so excited to hear about that. Now, we'll get Danny on here pretty soon just to talk about that trip. But boy, I know what a blessing it was. And speaking of a blessing, out at Theodore today, C.J. Mosley's got that camp going on, and we're trying to get Eric on. We can't get Eric Collier right now, but I'm sure Eric's – knowing Eric the way I know him, I'm sure he's probably down in a three-point stance.
Hands on.
I can promise you he's probably that. But C.J. is out there, and I'm sure C.J. Mosley's got a bunch of kids out there. I had the chance to see Ozzie Newsome. I was at the hotel playing golf one day, Grand Hotel, and Ozzie Newsome loves to play golf. And Corey, that may surprise you. He's not a bad golfer. But one of the things he mentioned to me was, we were talking about local kids. He said, Grand Slam when they drafted C.J. Mosley. He's a guy that has just Ozzie couldn't say enough good things about C.J. Mosley. And course, he was a two-time All-American at Alabama and pretty doggone good player for the Ravens.
It's just awesome that Pro Bowlers, Hall of Famers, all from the Mobile Baldwin County area, NFL, current NFL players, former NFL players, all give back to the communities. And that's what, you know, giving feels good. And when you're able to have a 6 or 7 year old or even a high school athlete look up to you and learn from you and aspire to be where you currently are and have been, to give back, that's awesome. I spoke in the last segment about Captain Munnelin and his foundation having a silent auction. It's open to the public this Wednesday, July 18th at the Azalea Manor, located at 751 Dolphin Street. That's here in Mobile, Alabama, from 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. You can come out, network, and bid on gear from some of the favorite NFL players that includes Captain Munnelin, Cam Newton, Luke Kuechly, Thomas Davis, and more. All the proceeds will go to the Captain Munnelin Foundation, and it just continues to allow involvement in the community, this Captain Munnelin's foundation. And looking forward to his 9th annual Captain Munnelin Youth Football Camp a week from this Saturday. He will provide free lunch to the participants of the camp. That camp will be held at Murphy High School from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. The first 250 kids registered will receive a Captain Munnelin Foundation backpack filled with school supplies.
Wow.
So that's next Saturday. Captain Munnelin, again, the silent auction this Wednesday at Azalea Manor from 6 to 9. Cam Newton, Luke Kuechly, Captain Munnelin, cleats, jerseys. If you like the Panthers or want to get involved with the Captain Munnelin Foundation, this is an awesome way to bid on those items this Wednesday from 6 to 9 at the Azalea Manor, Rick.
That's good stuff, Corey. And, you know, when you talk about Captain Munnelin. Captain's always been the guy that wants to give back. He is one of the first guys to say what his high school coaches and what his high school playing days were. That's one of the things he loves to talk about and gave him a great foundation. I think of another guy who's doing the same thing, Roman Harper. Roman Harper, of course, has played in Prattville. His dad coached with us there in Prattville. But Roman, of course, is just retired, I think, from the Saints. Of course, he spent a year or two with Captain Munnelin and those guys in Carolina. But Roman is doing the same thing, giving back. He's giving back in Prattville. He's also doing a camp this weekend at Troy. So he's down there with Neil Brown and those guys, and I think it's a free camp. I mean, just everybody come, and he's loading them up with all kind of goodies. And so these guys just give and give and give and give back to the areas from which their foundation was laid. And, we've had so many here in Mobile that are doing it. A.J. McCarron's doing it today out at Baker, I think. And, you know, C.J.'s doing it over at Theodore. It's just there's so many. And I'm humbled by what these young people who got their foundation here in Mobile give back. And you are so good, Corey, at keeping us apprised of that. Because, you know, I think about what Sherman's doing, what Sherman and David are doing, and it just keeps on and keeps on giving.
I agree, Rick, from Sherman Williams to David Palmer to the Palmer Williams group. And then you look last week out at Daphne with Ryan Anderson and Michael Pierce and T.J. Yeldon. The list goes on and on and on of those who are giving back to the community. And we've said that this entire 2-hour show. We just thank those current and former NFL players for giving back to the community and helping those young people who aspire to be what they are currently to become.
There's no doubt about it. We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5. Of course, we are presented by Alpha, and we are in the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai studios right here in Mobile, Alabama.
PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey LaBounty.
All right, Corey, introduce that.
That's talking out of the side of your neck. My Southern University's beautiful band, and looking forward to some HBCUs coming here to Mobile, Alabama this September, and We'll get them talking out of the side of their neck and everything else, Rick. And it's nothing like watching those halftime band performances that they put on.
You know, I was talking to somebody the other day that's kind of special to me right now that was talking about going to their first South Alabama game, and of course sitting in the press box, and that might be a good place to take that person to see Southern's
band. I'm telling you, look, it is going down. The HBCU Experience, the Gulf Coast Challenge, can't beat it. September 22nd.
Oh boy,
it's going to be A&M, Alabama A&M versus Southern University. But, talking out of the side of your neck, Jaguars.
Let me tell you right now, and there's a lot of people that go to those to Alabama A&M, Alabama State, Southern, Grambling. Lots of people go to see those bands. Let me tell you this.
It's going to be a special performance, Rick. I'm looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to it.
You're going to be the PA guy that
night? I'm going to be the PA guy that night, and I'm really looking forward to that whole week's of activity. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I may have to be there.
Come on down, brother.
I may be in... I might be out of character, but I'm going to be there. I'm promising.
It's going to be fun.
Me and Laster are going to show up for that.
Y'all will enjoy.
Yeah, well, I have to get Laster a high chair. Hey, let's go to the Premier Motorsports Communication Lines and talk to David. David, how you doing, pal?
Doing great, guys. How's everybody?
We're good. We appreciate you holding on. I mean, you know, you kind of did due diligence
there. I'm here for Rick. I'm a giver.
Yeah, I know. Just ask Charlie. What's going on at Premier? You guys got special orders, right?
Special order. I'm driving a 2011 Denali HD 2500 that I just had delivered last night. Driving it, making sure everything's straight. Got a customer coming to pick it up Monday morning. That's how simple it is. He called in, told us what we wanted, sent him a couple emails. He picked the one he liked, and here it is.
Tell us about financing. What's going on finance-wise?
I've got banks. I've got more banks than probably anybody in town. I've got one bank in particular that nobody in town has but us. And these guys, they'll have good credit but had a situation, lost their job recently or got divorced. So I've got a bunch of options, and it can all be handled over the phone. It's 30 minutes out the door.
All right, tell us where you're located and tell them how people can get in touch with you, because I'm telling you, if you're looking for a certain type car, then you certainly want to give David at Premier Motorsports a call.
We are at PremierMotorsportsMobile.com. You can get us on Facebook at Premier Motorsports. Give us a call at 338-9019 or call me direct. I'm at 251-751-6414.
David, thanks a bunch, pal. Take care and have a great day.
No problem. Thank you.
Corey, somebody asked me the other day about a situation in basketball and hiring basketball coaches this late in the year. And I just flat told him, I said, you know, I'll have to ask Corey about that because he is the guy that really knows all about it. Are there basketball openings in Mobile, Baldwin County right now?
No, all of them have been filled. There's going to be a lot of new coaches, and as we continue, just like on the football side, as we introduce the 2018 teams, we'll introduce their new coaches as well, especially with media days coming up. The same thing when October rolls around, early October, mid-October, we'll start introducing a lot of these new basketball coaches because we've had a tremendous turnover in basketball coaches in the Mobile and Baldwin County area also.
I know the folks in Spanish Fort really need to be excited because Jimbo's going to come in there and he will do a great job. Of course, he's following a guy that did a pretty doggone good job there. And he's, of course, Coach Powell has now moved on to Thompson to be with those guys over there. But I can tell you right now, Jimbo Tolbert will do a great job at Spanish Fort. He'll fit well into the culture there. And that to me was a great hire, Corey, that it was just – I know Danny Powell and the guys hated to lose him at Jackson, but at the same time, Jimbo was still driving back and forth between Jackson and Mobile, and this makes it so much easier for Jimbo and his young family. And it's to me, it's just a great opportunity for both Spanish Fort and for Jimbo.
I agree. I mean, great basketball coaches. As we were talking with Jamie Lee earlier from the AHSAA, you know, he mentioned something that a lot of basketball coaches want to know and have tried to start, including Mr. Jamie Lee from the AHSAA, trying to start a basketball coaches association. And that's something that I think that as many young coaches as we have, like you mentioned, many coaches are retiring and moving on to other sectors. I think this generation of coaches in this Mobile area definitely need to start their own coaches association. I think the benefits of that just manifest itself, Rick.
You know, that's interesting that you say that, because in 1981, I can remember Cap and those guys talking in Birmingham. We had an inner city basketball coaches association. Now, this was inner city. This didn't have anything to do with over the mountain, didn't have anything to do with the county schools. It was inner city, Birmingham City Schools. And we had a basketball coaches association. And Cap, nobody was president. Didn't have anybody as president. Each meeting, a different coach ran the meeting. And it worked. It worked. But of course, today you got to have somebody in charge. You got to have somebody that can kind of feed the information to people and so on and so forth. But that was, and I can remember Cap Brown and some of the older guys talking about then, if we don't start something statewide with our basketball coaches, we're going to lose the communication that we need to have from Mobile to Huntsville. It never came to fruition. And that's, you know, you look at those great coaches, and I'm talking about Cap Brown was a great coach. He wasn't a good coach. He was a great
Hall
coach.
Hall of Famer.
I mean, he's just, to me, he's the greatest high school basketball coach that's coached in this state, along with a guy named Chuck Miller at Talladega, who's just a legend in his own way. And you go to Decatur, and you get some of the guys up in there. I can't think of Earl's last name in Decatur, but, boy, what a great coach he was in Decatur. But then you come down here to Mobile, and you know all the great coaches we've had here in Mobile for so many years. But you gotta have a group of coaches that communicate and are in an organization where they all put their heads together and do what football coaches and baseball coaches have done and form their basketball coaches association. To me, it's mind-boggling that hadn't happened.
And I agree. I know that North Alabama, I've talked to Marty Smith, who, you know, was the former coach of John Carroll High School. Yeah. He wanted to start it in the northern part of the state and get it started really throughout the state of Alabama. So from Gulf Shores all the way up to the Huntsville, Tennessee Valley area, everyone could be uniform on the same page and have an organization. And that's something that I do believe that will transpire and happen here in the next couple of weeks. But speaking of associations, the Football Association for officials, they need officials.
Yeah.
This coming season, if you want to earn some supplemental income for yourself, make a little extra money, they need football officials. They train every single Wednesday at Davidson High School starting at 6 o'clock p.m. That's every Wednesday at Davidson High School at 6 o'clock p.m. Training starts at 7. The general meeting starts at 6. You're welcome to come. They need football officials. They need chain crews. You can contact Tim Porter. Tim Porter has allowed and asked me to give out his number at 251-583-2075. You can contact Tim Porter if you're interested in being a football official for this coming season and being on the chain crew. They're definitely needed. That's 251-583-2075. Ask for Tim Porter. It's going to be training every single Wednesday, Rick, starting at 6 o'clock at Davidson High School. And there just needs to be an influx of people who needs to be involved, because there's youth football, there's middle school football, high school football, plenty of ways to make money on the chain crew and becoming a certified football official.
Well, and beside the making money, and I know that's not primary focus there, but for some people it is, you're giving back. You're giving back to the game that really meant a lot to you. And Tim Porter is a great one to contact. And I'm going to tell you somebody else that you can contact. You can contact Robert Lose. Robert Lose's number is 251-463-4646. We call him Shot. Robert Lose has been involved with the Alabama High School Athletic Association as a district supervisor for many, many years. But you can contact Robert Lose at 251-463-4646 or Tim Porter, and those guys will get you involved with high school football officiating. And Robert Lose can help you also with baseball. He can, and they'll get you in touch with basketball officials too. I mean, it's just a great way to give back. For those of us who officiated, and I'm one of the lucky ones. I spent, 28 years as a college baseball umpire, and that was something that, traveling from one coast to the other coast, and it was something that and we didn't make much money. I can promise you, you can ask anybody. We didn't make a lot of money when we were traveling. Today, these guys make more money in one game than we made in a three-game set, I can promise you. But it's just a great way to give back, and I hope that a lot of you former high school players and college players will get involved in officiating, because I'm telling you, here in Mobile, we are blessed. And I know you folks in Montgomery feel the same way with Mid-State and those two associations you have up there. And you folks in Sylacauga, y'all use the Birmingham Officials Association. So, but here in Mobile, we are blessed to have great high school officials in every sport. And so if you want to get involved, you want to give back to the game that meant so much to you, we certainly hope you'll get involved in officiating. So that's kind of where we are with that, and we need officials. We need them back. You do it, and of course I love watching you officiate, Corey, because you're so cool, calm, and collected. You know, Corey, you are so much better at being cool, calm, and collected when you're officiating than when you're coaching.
That's amazing how that is true, though.
Golly bum.
I get a little passionate over there on the sidelines, and I don't really ride the officials. If they kick a rule, that's really the only time. I never question judgment, because that's part of being an official from a judgment standpoint. But with that being said, I love officiating. We need more officials from the football, basketball, baseball, absolutely, softball standpoint. If you have any questions about officiating, call us here at the Prep Sports Report. When we're on every Saturday, or you can find me on Twitter at CA LaBounty. I'll be more than happy to give you ways to get in touch.
And we'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5, the Faith segment coming up. You don't want to miss it.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile, and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace. You know, we often talk about competitors on this show, and through the many years that we've done this show, we have used the word relentless probably more times than we should have. My daughter Katie is constantly telling me, Daddy, you have certain words that you really accentuate more so than others, and relentless is one of them. And today we're going to talk about the relentless competitor. Our scripture comes from Hebrews, the 10th chapter, the 39th verse, but we are not those who draw back and are destroyed, but those who have faith and obtain life. You see, competitors love to have goals, and they pursue them with everything they have. They give their all the time. They are relentless. To be relentless means to be strong, while the word relent means to give up. You could probably rephrase Hebrews 10:39 to read, but we're not of those who relent, but of those who are relentless. You see, God wants us to move forward and to be strong. As followers of Christ, we need to have relentless love, pursue relentless devotion, and be on a relentless mission. We also need to be relentless competitors. You know, we've talked about relentless competitors today. We talk about C.J. Mosley. Probably never have seen one in Theodore that's as relentless, as competitive as C.J. Mosley is. And we talked about Ryan Anderson. Ryan Anderson, as a young boy, struggled with adopting to a culture that sometimes he didn't agree with. But through the help of Glenn Vickery and Nick Saban, he understood how to adopt and to adjust into a different culture. See, relentless competitors like C.J. Mosley and Ryan Anderson, see, they have some grit and some guts. They don't buckle. They don't fade. But they have tenacity and they have fortitude. Relentless competitors are able to absorb the inevitable criticism and the obstacles and the setbacks and just keep advancing day after day after day. They keep their eyes on completing the mission and are willing to find creative solutions when things just don't go as originally planned. Now, when it comes to leadership, relentless competitors remain focused on the finish line and help their teammates to do the same. They are proactive, and they align themselves and their time and their energy and their activity around the most important priorities, removing distractions and avoiding interruptions. I often think about not only athletic competitors, but I also think about people in law enforcement. I think about those policemen that are doing the same exact thing 24 hours a day sometimes, from minute to minute, hour to hour, just being relentless in their occupation and trying to make sure that they do due diligence in their job. They're proactive, and not only do they align their time and their energy and their activities around those most important priorities, they do remove distractions and they do avoid interruptions. You see, relentless leaders move forward and take ground. You know, I think today God's calling all of us to be relentless and to take ground for His kingdom. Godly leaders are strategic and decisive. They don't draw back. They have faith. They have faith in the one who called them into action and will see them through as they remain in Him.
Rick, there's nothing we can do to keep God from pursuing us, and there is no sin too great, no distance we could run and that would discourage God from loving us. From the moment you were born, God has been pursuing your heart, and His greatest longing is for a relationship with us. And don't let a wrong understanding of who God is cause your relationship with Him to be work-based. Don't let your sin and failures get in the way of running to the open arms of your Heavenly Father. God is always after your heart right now. He's sweetly knocking at the door of your heart and just wants you to let Him in. And His pursuit of you will continue for a lifetime. He just wants you to give His life to Him. And we want to be relentless as coaches and as competitors. And you just spoke about some fine competitors who have been relentless, who decided not to give up. But the great thing about God is His grace and mercy, and knowing that God will never, ever give up on us, and He will always pursue us and want to embrace us in heaven.
Boy, that's good stuff, Corey. And, you know, when you talk about relentless competitors, I know that you see them almost every day in every, and we talk about sports here, but there are so many different venues in which people, or vocations is probably a better word. There's so many different vocations where we see relentless competition. I got several friends that I play golf with that are in different fields, in sales, and have a doctor friend he's a really good golfer, and I love playing with him and competing with him. But you watch him as he handles patients. I've had the opportunity just to sit in and go around with him as he goes through his daily activities. He's relentless in trying to pursue how to help a patient get well. And we don't recognize that sometimes in kind of in our little culture that we live in. But, you know, I see this in what he does and how he works as hard as he can possibly work with each individual patient to help them have a quality of life that is pleasant and enjoyable, and to try to get them through tough situations in their life. And then I have some, you know, I have several lawyer friends that are just amazing men outside of law, and how relentless they are in doing everything that they can for their practice and to help those people that walk in their office try to get something that's broken fixed. And you do that, Corey. That's one of the things that you're doing right now in your job. You go out and you meet people that have had a bad situation in their life, and you do everything you can to try to get them in touch with the people that can help them fix that. So that's relentless, and that's what you are. You do that all the time, and that's amazing to me, and I'm so appreciative of you for what you do there. But you know, that's what God does. He is relentless in His care for us, and wanting us to go in the right direction, make the right decisions, Corey.
One of the biggest scriptures is Psalm 139, verses 1 through 4. Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. And I think that that scripture is so very powerful. It comes from King David, and it shows us that before we ever began to pursue God, God pursued us.
Amen to that. Hey, we are about out of time, but want to mention this before we get out of here. You folks in Sylacauga, we lost one of the icons in radio to me when we lost Gerald Phillips. Steve Phillips to a lot of people, but Gerald to us in Sylacauga. We lost him last week, and certainly hope you'll remember him there in Sylacauga as we all remember him as classmates and as a dear friend. Thank you for being a part of Prep Sports Report. Mark will be back with us next week. Corey and I'll be here. Dalt, Philip. Remember this. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, he is always with you. God bless you. See you same place, same time next week.